Well, today I'm joined in the studio by Christine Nessler, and Christine brought a guest too. Well, it's good to talk to you, Christine. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Christine is with Freedom Home Care, and we know your service as well because we've been talking to you for many years, like pretty much since the business started in town.
Yeah, so over 5 years now.
And Freedom Home Care is a really great way for people to make sure that they stay in their homes, right?
I mean, yes, that's our whole, the whole point of Freedom Home Care, our whole goal is to make sure that people are really living well and living their fullest life in their home or the place that they're comfortable for as long as possible.
And offering services like...
Yes, we have home care services. So we're helping people with really those tasks that have become difficult and tiring as somebody might age. So cooking and cleaning and help around the house, running errands, but also some of those personal cares, you know, that somebody might need help with, or medication management. And then most recently, case management.
Well, let's talk about case management because the guest that you brought in is an actual case manager.
Good morning.
Why don't you introduce your
guest? Yeah, so this is Ann Soseski, and Ann has been with us for, I believe, 2.5 years now.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And Ann is a licensed social worker, and she is one of our case managers, which is a service that we started 2.5 years ago, about. And it's really been a valuable addition to services for Freedom Home Care because there's so many people out there that don't have family members close by to serve as advocates for them.
So, Anne, you're kind of like an advocate family member. I mean, I'm sure that you become really close with your clients.
Absolutely, yeah.
What exactly does your job entail? What does a case manager do?
My job entails many things. I think the primary objective, I think, for me with case management is to start off just with this knowing that we'll have an ongoing relationship. And with that, in case management, we can provide assessment and planning, facilitation and care coordination of different appointments, and advocacy for the client. So sometimes that can start out with just a meet and greet, and maybe I go to an appointment with a client, and then the appointment turns into another specialty appointment. Mm. And family may live outside of the state of Minnesota, so then I'm also that liaison between maybe the provider, the client, and family members. So it is true. You really get to have that relationship and that you really get to know each other very well and value that relationship.
So I assume as a case manager, then you almost become like family yourself with some of your clients when you make that connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes, when you go through a walk with someone, if they have a diagnosis of something and then maybe that diagnosis turns into end of life cares, you know, I've been involved in that where... to be an active participant, like with family members, mm-hmm. where they value you, you know, in your role and be there with family even up until the end. I mean, it's just a priceless thing to be able to be a peace of mind and comfort for families.
Are you finding that, like, the more that we move on, it seems like society, you know, people move away. We 20, 30, 50 years ago, we'd stay home. We'd take right. care of our family members. We would be there. But now people are kind of scattering, and then it does leave people
right.
alone.
It does. It does. And in those instances, just to bridge that gap, you know, where you have somebody that's trusting, that knows all, your whole life history, who you are, what you're about. So, again, that's another valuable piece of the case management, to be able to walk them through all of the joys and the challenges, especially when they don't have a family member that's close.
I'm putting pieces together now. My husband and I recently have taken charge of his 89-year-old grandfather, mm-hmm. but he lives 2 hours away.
Sure.
So it's difficult. And they often talk about, well, if you need case management, if you need a social worker,
right.
And you're exactly what they're talking about, right?
Yes.
So yeah. to come in and help. So what does your typical day look like when you get up in the morning? I mean, like, how many people are you working with? Does that change?
It changes. It fluctuates. I would say this week, I've probably seen 5 clients daily, or 4 clients. And I can drive from one place to the next. So sometimes it's a matter of that anxiety of trying to be on time. You're hitting the red light because you need to go to pick somebody up for an appointment. And which happened yesterday, as a matter of fact, that... then there was an accident on the highway. So
oh.
then we had to do a workaround. And so what we ended up doing is calling the clinic. They gave her a later appointment and I did get her there. But it's just sometimes it can be challenging just with those logistics. But as a whole, my typical day can look like taking people to an appointment, doing a well check, And that could be if somebody lives in assisted living, in mm-hmm. memory care, in their own home, taking somebody out shopping because they don't have anybody that they feel comfortable with, and I can transport them, you know, to get some of the needed things that they need, and et cetera. Line up a tree removal service for someone the other day because they had a problem. So it's kind of from soup to nuts. I mean, we do like those appointments and those referrals and assessments, but it also goes to that trusting, valued relationship where people really will ask you to do kind of maybe obscure things, but they're not, because I feel like it's like, part of my job. It's the whole person.
Right. I'm imagining, like, maybe can you help me pay these bills, or can you help me? I mean,
you know, within like, reason, you know, there's somebody that maybe
maybe writing a check. I don't mean like, can you pay my bills?
Boundaries. Yeah. Within reason.
I need one of those people.
Or maybe if somebody has limited vision.
Right.
So I read mail to someone and then she can differentiate, is that junk mail or is that mail that my family needs to tend to?
Right.
So then that alleviates her anxiety because she doesn't like stacks of mail. So, you know, while I'm visiting or doing a well check, we're also doing those things. And I can look around and see, you know, is she eating well? You know, how is she getting her groceries? So any number of things. And then with Freedom Home Care, we also have caregivers. So as a case manager, mm-hmm. we value the caregivers. So if it's something that I can't do, you know, on a daily basis mm-hmm. and they need somebody else to come into the home, well, then we have caregivers and we can set them up with caregivers to help with the other needed things where I could maybe just be the coordinator.
Okay. All right. I understand what you're doing. So how is it that you schedule yourself? You must have like a master schedule of what you need to do where, because or is it crazy Google Calendar?
It's crazy. It's just kind of crazy. I actually had a colleague say, look at my schedule and say, how do you even keep track of all that stuff?
Well, you might have to be with person A, you know, at this time, and then across town with person B doing something totally different.
And then you have three messages that say call person A and call person B. So it's very rewarding and fills my cup, but it can be very taxing. But with that being said, then I just take a break in between and, you know, you just try to prioritize. Is this something that needs to be called back right away?
Right.
But I always want to get back, you know, email, phone call or that sort of thing. But I kind of have my own system and it seems to work.
It's working so far.
I get from A to B. And
so then I'm going to ask a personal question. How do you take care of yourself? How do you, you spend so much time caring for other people.
Yes.
How do you take care of yourself?
I like to just take a breath and just go.
Is always helpful.
So I don't pass out. No. And just like go on a walk. I like to walk our dog. I like to read books. I like to listen to our daughter play piano. I mean, there are so many things just in nature and in just taking a breath, like I said, or, you know, meditate on those positive things in life, because, you know, when your day is hectic and you are a giver naturally, which I am, and then you have your own children,
you have
and your
to
own
give
family,
to your own people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I just find that it's so rewarding that it's not a burnout. It actually, when I do take time to take care of myself, it's just very fulfilling.
Don't you feel like energized then? It's like almost the giving ends up being kind of selfish in a way, because you get so much back.
I do benefit a lot. And I do say a lot that my role as a case manager is priceless. I mean, you can't pay me. There's not enough money that can compensate for the priceless gift that I get each and every day. And I learn something new each and every day from each and every client. And the things I take for granted, they show me, don't take that for granted, mm-hmm. because look at, you know,
how important it is to them.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. And I think then when you take that back home, showing your own children how to care for others, I mean, that creates a ripple effect that goes out into the, it does.
It definitely does. And I have taken our daughter to play piano, you know, at different facilities and nursing homes, and teaching them to give back, because we do have a kind of a forgotten people, so to speak.
Right.
And our son too. I've taken him too, and he's staying at Christmas time. You know, he's gone to different places because they truly see that the monetary, the monies that you make, it doesn't supersede the gift that you can give to other people in your role just in humanity.
It's always interesting learning about professions that I'm not in, and people's why. Why did you get involved in this? Is this something you felt a calling towards?
Yeah, definitely.
So you don't. So then you don't work a day in your life. I feel like I always think like it's just
it's ingrained. Happy. It's a passion. It's just something that I feel.
Okay.
No. It kind of comes naturally. But I feel like I have a grandma that's 97 years old. Mm-hmm. And she used to take me to visit all of her friends. She lived at a cabin at a lake. And at that time, I always thought, what a waste of time, Grandma. I need to get going. What is this? You know, but I really learned the value of people's stories and got to follow them throughout their whole, you know, aging process. And I feel like my grandma was instrumental because she always said, who will be here to take care of me? Well, lo and behold, I'm taking care of my grandma.
Isn't that awesome? You know, and I it resonates with me because my mother lives with us. Mm-hmm. And so I get that. I understand. Tell me about Grace.
Grace was a client. She's no longer a client, but she is somebody that heard about our services and she decided to sign up for our emergency contact service.
Okay.
And
which is what?
We have either I'm on call or we have RNs on call 24/7. So in the event of an emergency, like I spoke about earlier, when family is maybe not around to meet a family member in the emergency room or at their home, we would get a call and we would be able to go to the emergency room and meet their loved one in the emergency room. Mm. Or 24/7, you know, we will take the call.
Okay.
And then like be able to participate in sharing that information from the emergency room to family member and being a sense of comfort, especially for people that have maybe memory loss.
Right.
You know, we're there to have a familiar maybe tone. Maybe they don't recognize me, mm-hmm. but just have that soft touch while they're going through something that is traumatic. So and Grace signed up for that service. And little did she know that she needed it shortly thereafter. Mm. She was having heart palpitations. She thought maybe she was having a heart attack and ended up going to the emergency room on the ambulance. And one of our case managers met her there. And Grace ultimately ended up feeling a sense of comfort in a situation that was very scary.
Being alone.
Yeah. And she did not want to die alone. Her fear was, if I'm dying, I do not want to die alone. Mm-hmm. So this case manager sat with her, and as it turned out, she was okay, but she learned the value of that 24/7 emergency contact service, because ultimately then I became her case manager down the road. Mm-hmm. And that initial onset of that relationship and that trusting relationship, somebody will be there for me, carried through, you know, taking her to appointments and getting certain things in her life kind of structured for her.
Okay.
So she basically said it's the best money that she ever spent and that she felt such peace of mind, and she always knew I'd be there for her. And if it wasn't me, it would be one of my colleagues or somebody at Freedom Home Care. So her daughters lived, I think, one in the cities and maybe one in a different place. But I ultimately got to know the daughters as well.
Okay.
And
yeah, when you're caring for mom, then
you're caring for mom. And so I think the dynamics and trying to just give quality of care and keep in mind, different families are different, but where do I fit in within the confines of what their expectations mm-hmm. are, and just to help navigate through.
Are there difficulties ever? Do you ever have a time where you're not meshing with somebody and then, you know, maybe a different case manager takes over?
Never. No.
I just wonder where
I think it's really highly valuable to have personalities that connect with one another. So if there is somebody that maybe even wants the expertise of more of the nurse, you know, okay. I want, you know, this information maybe then I'm not the right fit. You know, maybe it would be a nurse. I think it's valuable. We all have different skill sets, and I work with, you know, other people that are equally, you know, equally more than competent,
right.
you know,
right.
to me. And so if we see that and we see that somebody would make a better connection, or what we talk about that, and we want to be, you know, have that suitable relationship, something that makes that person feel comfortable. So yeah, if there's something that you can see that's amiss, definitely we'll work on who would be a better fit.
that's always nice to know that that's an option and not like, you know, this person is your case manager and that's it. And it, maybe you don't mesh. So
exactly.
To be able to get along with somebody, because that, yes. that factors in with the trust
yes.
in a huge way. So when you are a case manager, do you have to be a licensed social worker? Is what, how does this work? Because it's not just Freedom Home Care that has case managers, right? I mean, like your care providers, your medical profession has care. They do the same thing, I'm assuming?
Yeah. So we, for Freedom Home Care, we require that it's either a licensed social worker or a registered nurse
okay.
for the services that we provide. And there, you know, there are case management services at Mayo and at Mankato Clinic. And you know, I'm not an expert on those services, but mm-hmm. I do believe that most often they're registered nurses.
So you know that you can be comfortable, at least somebody's got some knowledge going in about health care if
yeah.
you're or care in general.
Yeah, and I think that's so valuable, you know, especially in that instance where you maybe are going to the emergency room or you are attending appointments or maybe you're helping somebody that has multiple chronic conditions to be able to have that knowledge and background to really communicate well with other medical professionals.
I think that with National Case Management coming up next week, if this is something that is like resonating with you, you're going, maybe you're in that situation where you're a caregiver and you need some help, or you're a caregiver or a loved one that's far away and you need that help, that there are places that you can contact. And that's what you would ask for, is a case manager, correct? Right.
Yeah, definitely. You know, whether that's a private service with Freedom Home Care or whether that's something that you can inquire with your doctor about and the services that they provide at, you know, the hospital or the clinic for you as well.
All right. So here's where I'm going to ask you, because I've got you in studio, Christine. If we want to learn more about Freedom Home Care and maybe get in touch with Anne or somebody like Anne that takes care of our loved ones, that will make sure that they
yeah.
have what they need, what do we need to do?
Well, I would first suggest heading out to our website. FreedomHomeCareLLC.com. We have a couple really great care stories, including Grace's story about clients that have worked with case management and how that's benefited them. So that really gives you a good picture of the different ways case management can serve you. And we also have information about the service in general. But otherwise, give us a call at the office at 507-387-4663 or 387-HOME. And we would absolutely love to tell you more about case management.
All right. We're going to send folks in that direction. And Anne, what you do is tough work. It's rewarding work. I'm glad that there are people like you out there that are willing to take care of others' loved ones and make sure that we have everything that we need moving forward. So it's really comforting. Thank you.
Yes. Well, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to serve others and do what I do. So thank you.
Christine, you've got the right people hired.
Absolutely. The ones with the big hearts. That's who we like.
All right. Freedom Home Care, Anne and Christine in today on Talk of the Town. Thank you so much.
Thank you.